Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who's got the most at stake in the divisional round? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Easy question, not a simple answer, Pearl. For the one team who loses, who would it be most devastating for?
Okay. There's a lot of history online for everybody. You know, the Chiefs could three-peat, the Bills could finally break their Super Bowl drought. But
well, we're not sure about that. Well, not this weekend.
Right. Oh, I'm just talking big picture in this playoffs. Okay. Like, there's a lot at stake for a lot of teams here.
Yes, sorry.
Everything is riding on this season for the Detroit Lions. They cannot, not only can they have to get to the Super Bowl. If they got upset by a Washington team that probably is a year or two away, that would just be the ultimate devastation. I'm honestly, like, if they lose to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, okay. But if they lost this round, it'd be like, God, everything was setting up for this team. You know, they're going through their home field throughout the playoffs. I feel like people would be, A, incredibly surprised, and B, incredibly disappointed. So I think the most is at stake for Detroit.
I think most is at stake for Detroit. Overall, you're right about that. But I don't think they have to win the Super Bowl necessarily. It would be disappointing if they didn't win the Super Bowl. But if they lose to the Chiefs, I don't think that there's any shame in it. Yes, you lose to the Commanders, you are a 10-point favorite at one point during the week. Now it's down to 8.5, and you have the home field advantage. But I don't see, I guess, is the most riding on it for them. They've got a young team, youngish. Their defense got decimated by injuries this year. You'd be able to find excuses for why they didn't win.
That's true.
And there's another part of this. If, let's just say, in some alternate universe where the Lions do lose this game to the Commanders, this is going to be like the Jaden Daniels magic carpet ride that he'd be going to the NFC Championship game as a rookie.
Right.
That the story would switch so much to be like, all right, bye Lions, and now it's Jaden Daniels' world and we're all living in it. Nick Costos joined us last hour from You Better You Bet. He and I see this the same way. I think Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback left in the NFC. Now we'll see if the Lions make him look silly. I don't know. But this would be about his ascension. And even though the Lions are probably going to lose their coordinators, do you really think they're going to fall off a cliff?
Yes.
Isn't their window still open? You do.
No, I mean, I think this year is really laid out well for them. I think that this, I know Hutchins is not there, and that's a huge deal. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be as easy a path through the NFC next year. Obviously, like, they're facing, they're facing a Washington team who snuck by a Tampa Bay team that basically lost their mind at the end of that game. I don't know how.
Yep.
And then they're going to get, if they beat the Commanders, who they're heavily favored over, they get the winner of the Eagles and Rams. Neither team scares them. I think they're a pretty big favorite over either of those teams. So you don't have San Francisco at their peak.
Sure.
You don't have Green Bay, who's a good playoff team, at their peak. And then you're going into, the hope is that the AFC just murders each other.
Yeah.
And one of those teams is beat up. Like, I don't think this is not going to lay out for the Lions like this next year. This is a magic carpet ride of a season.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We're asking who's got the most at stake, like, and whose loss would be the most heartbreaking. I mean, for me as a fan, I would say it'd be the Bills, but I also think the Bills have the most at stake here, and here's why. Lamar has his MVPs, right? Like, he is agreed upon as the second to Mahomes. If you have three MVPs, you have to be considered the second to Mahomes. I mean, then Josh Allen and Joe Burrow have to take a backseat.
Not in anybody's quarterback rankings. Like, find me a quarterback ranking consistency as Lamar number two. It's not there.
Okay, I think the award's screwed up.
The award is definitely screwed up, because I think if you look at preseason quarterback rankings, Lamar and Allen flip-flop and Burrow flip-flop, they're all about the same. They're all below Mahomes.
Yes, but somehow Lamar is three of them. And okay.
But anyway, you know that the Lamar and Josh Allen are similar in status.
So here's why I think the most is at stake for Buffalo. They are a home team, just like Detroit. Now, the spread's not nearly as big. In fact, Baltimore's favored, actually, in Buffalo. But I think this is what would be the shame of it for Buffalo and why this would be most heartbreaking. Number one, they've actually put together different types of teams. They've tried in different types of ways. Allen has been the focal point, of course, but they've had different types of defenses in terms of personnel. They're building that defense. They've had different types of offenses. It used to be this big play, explosive play offense that didn't really work outside in the cold weather. Now they became more of a run, spread the ball around, everybody eats offense. And if you try multiple different ways to win and you can't win, I think that is demoralizing in a way that becomes, like, coupling that with the Bills' history of not winning a Super Bowl, of being just good enough but never great enough. I think that's the part of it that would make this more devastating for Buffalo. It's like you retooled the roster. You really tried to do this differently, and you still come up short.
Yeah, but could you argue that they're young, whereas the Chiefs and the Ravens are old? Like, look at Josh Allen's young, Dalton Kincaid's young, James Cook is young. Keon Coleman's young. Like, they're all on the rise. The Ravens have Derrick Henry's at the end. The Chiefs have Travis Kelce's at the end.
Everyone else on the Ravens is young, though. Well, maybe not Mark Andrews, but say Flowers is young.
Marlon Humphrey's not young. Like, they're definitely not.
Hamilton is young.
Yeah.
They've got young guys.
But generally, I think the Bills, like, everybody on offense is on the youngest side. Like, I say that because everyone's like, oh, this came into this year saying, like, oh, Buffalo, they might not threaten this year because they're building after the post-Stephon Diggs.
Yep.
I felt like this wasn't the year. It was supposed to be, like, a little further down the road, right?
I think every year when you have your healthy quarterback and they're this good, it's always a year.
But did anybody pick the Bills to Super Bowl preseason like they did last year and the year before that? I think that fell off because, you know, you have to admit, this was a bit risky to go into the season with these weapons. Khalil Shakir's your number one receiver. I think it was more of a wait and see. I think they throughout the season got the bar a lot higher, but I don't think coming into this year they were building towards something. Right. I think they were building in the post-Stephon. Is that fair to say? I mean, look, they have a rookie receiver and a second year tight end now. They're very young.
Yeah, I think that they looked at the Kansas City model and said, you can get rid of your best wide receiver, and as long as you have your quarterback and you have, you know, capable weapons, the element of surprise for the defense and not knowing where the ball is going is going to end up being more valuable to you than having one awesome $30 million receiver.
I think the Bills' Super Bowl odds next year are going to be really good.
Depends how it looks in this game.
Yeah.
Like, if they lose 35-10 like they did in week 4 to Baltimore, then no, it's not going to look good. And they won't, they wouldn't deserve to have high Super Bowl odds.
Yeah. I mean, I do think the Ravens are consistently good, but I'm not sure for them, like, this year they should have taken more seriously. I don't know why they mailed in the first half of the season. They really should have fought. I think last year they were like,
was super inconsistent.
Yeah, right. They thought we got home field last year and didn't do anything for us. Like, what do we care? It did feel like they were not as serious a team in the first half. I mean, they lost to the Raiders, for God's sake.
A weird game.
It does, and they are just a different team. I didn't feel like they were all there, especially, you're right, defensively. How many times? And I still think their back four can get totally picked on. I just haven't seen the right team to do it yet. And I don't think it's going to happen on Sunday, right? Because it's going to be 0 degrees out.
Yeah, it's going to be really cold. Major chance of snow. What else is new? It's Buffalo. And we're going to see how the elements play into this. EJ, do you think we're right about this? I say Bills. Perloff says Detroit Lions about who's got the most at stake this weekend. The most to lose.
I think it's the Ravens.
Because of Lamar.
I think it's Lamar. I know the Ravens have won a championship, but it just feels like that Flacco, Ray Lewis was there. Like, that's a whole different like organization to me than the guys now.
Yeah.
Like, the Ravens, I think, have been looked at for the last 2 years as an absolute juggernaut that is so much more talented than so many of these other teams, right? They have so many Pro Bowlers, so many stars, so many names. If they lose again after they thought they got the trump card and Derrick Henry to combine with Lamar Jackson's run game, it's going to be like, it's never going to happen for these guys. I really think the Ravens, the Bills, I think you could, we could kind of squint and say, okay, it's McDermott's fault, or okay, you know, they're kind of young, they kind of overachieved maybe from what Perloff was saying, like their expectations were. I think the Ravens, the expectations were still sky high. If they don't get to the conference finals, or rather the championship game, that'd be a disaster.
Wait, who are these Ravens stars other than Lamar?
Lamar, Derrick Henry.
Well, I know, and now Henry, but I'm just saying, like, we haven't looked at them as a star.
Kyle Hamilton is a star.
I think people think Mark Andrews is a star.
I mean, come on.
Are you serious?
Well, he's not Travis
Kelce. He's not Travis Kelce. Hamilton stays on the field about nine snaps in a row. Yes, they're very talented, but I think that they, you know, the thing with the Ravens for the last 25 years, they lose all their talented players, and then they somehow find all these new guys to rise up. I think the Ravens, Roquan one Smith, thing is they've like never gotten their receiving core figured out, and it seems like they finally have it figured out this year, right? That's what's
Zay Flowers has gotten a lot better. Again, yeah. Roquan Smith is one of the best linebackers. Like, I don't think that when we look at the Bills, I don't look at them and say they have a bunch of the best players at their position. Maybe Deion and Josh. That's it. Everyone with the Ravens, I think they have the best safety. They may have the best middle linebacker. They have one of the best quarterbacks. They have one of the best interior guys in Matabike. They have one of the best
Now you're pushing it.
No, it's true. And they
look at Chris Jones and Travis Kelce.
I'm comparing to the Bills.
Yeah, just saying there's a lot of teams with a lot more stars. The Eagles have like 8 stars. I mean, I'm saying they are not a star-laden team to me, the Ravens. Yeah, they are
top heavy. But they got more Pro Bowlers than any other team this season. They got 8 guys in the Pro Bowl. And by the way, I know we don't talk about it enough, and he has had a pretty bad season by his account. They did have the best kicker maybe in the history of the NFL on their side, also the Ravens.
Their second string tight end would start for 85% of the league.
Yeah, I don't see the Ravens like that. I think the Ravens are more of a system team. And it's just Lamar, it takes up all the wattage because he either carries the ball or throws the ball at every play until Derrick Henry got there. Then it was like, this is a new Ravens format. It was just like Lamar, and the Bills are the same way. I feel like it's Josh Allen is so top-heavy on this team, where you look at the Eagles have like 6 stars. The Rams have Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. Like, I don't see the Ravens as so overwhelmingly star-laden that they got to get there. It's all about Lamar. They have the MVP quarterback. They should win, but we know that that's just not how it works in the AFC. There's a guy named Mahomes sitting there.
Well, we know that. 855-212-4227. Who's got the most at stake in this divisional round? Perloff says the Lions. I think the Bills. EJ thinks the Ravens. Manny, want to weigh in on the Texans or something?
The Giants have the most at stake.
Hey, Manny. We found out today Manny's got 2 tattoos. They don't match. Found that out. You got a lion on your thigh for some reason, and then a tribal anklet.
That's right, yes.
I was going to ask something, but I'm not going to ask.
Yeah.
The reason why I brought it up is because you're looking to get some new ink.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Obviously, how high up is the lion on the thigh? Pretty high.
Pretty high up.
Okay. Do you have a photo of it that's safe for work or no?
I'm sure I do somewhere, yeah. If Cap wants, I can send the non-suitable for work as one.
No, don't send anything not suitable to work to anybody at work.
Okay, just double checking.
There you go. Thank you for double checking. I feel like maybe we could solicit some ideas from the crowd, because we don't have tattoos. Me, Perloff, and EJ don't. Bogus doesn't. I don't know about Kaplan, but the rest of the world does. Maybe we can get a little crowdsourcing going on.
Why does another tattoo have to happen? Like, can you just, you got 2.
Yeah.
Can you just live with that? Like, why does that?
I think it's like eating potato chips, you know? It's like you want more and more.
Yeah, it's potato chips. It's like championships. Once you get one, you want another one, you want another one, you want another one. It's kind of like a drug.
Was the first one the hardest? Also, they say that about titles.
No, the anklet was a little bit more painful because it was closer to the bone.
Got it. Jerry is in South Carolina. Jerry, your thoughts on the divisional round or what?
Hey, Maggie, how's it going?
Going great.
Good. Thanks for taking my phone call and talk about the AFC divisional playoff games this weekend. I know the Ravens-Bills games technically is the AFC championship game, but it's a crying shame that the winner will have to go to KC. I know Jackson and Allen need to get over that hump, but it should be a really good game Sunday night, prime time, 6:30. Yes.
That was a good promo. But yeah, it all goes through Kansas City. You're right about that. We were asking before, let's just say Kansas City does beat the Texans, say they do beat the Texans. Who has a better shot of upsetting these Chiefs? Would it be the Bills or the Ravens?
The Ravens, they're a more complete team. Having Derrick Henry definitely gives them the edge, unlike last year when Jackson didn't have that security blanket in the running game. But this time he has Derrick Henry. Hopefully that will be the deciding factor.
Jerry, it's a great call. The one thing about Henry, though, and this is really if we're talking about keys to the game and we look at it from the Buffalo side of things, if Buffalo, you can't have the start you had against Denver. And quite frankly, some other home games that they've had this year, Prola, they've started slow. Your Philadelphia Eagles dealt with this for a while during the season where they were a terrible first quarter team.
And even when they picked it up, they weren't that great. But yeah.
Bills need to score, I think, on the first two drives.
Wait, both drives?
Both drives. Very important. Because that's how you neutralize Henry. The only way that you can try to make sure that he's not the X factor that beats you is to have the Ravens be trailing and forcing Lamar to try to throw.
Someone hire this lady. You have to go out there and score touchdowns on your first. Yeah, I mean, of course you want to score touchdowns on your first few drives. Do you realize, like, you say it like that's a strategy. That's very, very hard to do in the NFL.
I get it, and I know that's always the goal is to get into the end zone, but there was a halftime score where it was Buffalo and Denver, and it was 10-7, and everyone knew that Buffalo had the game at that point. Like,
well, they outpossessed him 22-8, and Bo Nix couldn't hit the side of a barn.
I'm just saying, no one thought the Bills had to score on the first two possessions, touchdowns, to win that game. This one is completely different animal because of Henry. I know. Am I being Captain Obvious here? Yeah. I get it, but this
I know, but it's not just Captain Obvious. That seems like a very tall order to me, what you're asking them to do.
So the last time the Bills and the Ravens played, on the first offensive possession of the game for the Ravens, Derrick Henry took a 78-yard touchdown to the house.
Right, it's a very tall order for the Bills to score the first two touchdowns.
It should be.
Everyone says the Ravens are a great starting team and the Bills are a come-from-behind, cover-the-spread team. So I've heard a lot of bettors say, bet the Ravens in the first half, bet the Bills in the second half, because Allen goes crazy.
John is in Rochester. John, how nervous are people upstate?
We're feeling really good about it. I'm got to give the Bills some credit here. They're so loose. They're ready to go. They're focused. We're ready to go. They're coming to our house as well. 72,000 fans are ready to go with this weather, and hopefully Josh Allen's going to be the superstar that he always is. We're looking forward to this win this Sunday.
John, love the confidence. John sounds exactly like Rob Gronkowski. Did anyone else pick up on that? Sounds just like Gronk, who's from Buffalo. It's funny about being loose. We talked about Lamar Jackson, Perloff, feeling very loose. The other day, he's given a press conference talking about Derrick Henry looks like Lightning McQueen from Cars, and he's joking around with the media. I think the Bills players might be loose. The Bills head coach is never loose in a big game. Sean McDermott gets very tight, and the closer the game, the tighter he gets. He is not able to maintain that looseness or whatever you want to call it in a close game. He gets tight, he makes bad decisions.
Did he do anything bad in last year's playoff loss? Actually, as I recall that playoff, that was kind of like that. The Chiefs won that fair and square, right? They just kind of outplayed them a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't love this was not McDermott. I didn't love the offensive play calling at the end in that final drive where Josh Allen all of a sudden started going for everything when they had been so methodical. But no, McDermott doesn't have a great reputation for being the guy in a tight game that gives you an edge.
And John Harbaugh does?
I mean, he's won a Super Bowl, so do you always give him the edge?
That was more of a, I actually don't have no thoughts about John Harbaugh as an X and O guy. Ask the average football fan, is John Harbaugh good in two-minute situations? And I don't even think of him like that.
I think the Ravens have a good reputation for being really good at the end of halves. And yeah, I can't think of major screw-ups, but I'm sure there are Ravens fans out there who would probably say a couple.
The Ravens got outcoached so badly in the AFC title game last year. It was dramatic.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There's
that,
one.
That was
but Lamar
very,
took
very
the
bad.
Brunt.
No, I mean, but people did say, like, what the heck, what plays were you calling? Why is Lamar dropping back to throw the ball 40 times in this game? It was insane.
Who's got the most at stake this weekend? Who's got the most to lose? Obviously, no team wants to lose. We get that. It's like asking if it's a must-win game. We know it's a must-win game. But in terms of legacies, in terms of moving forward, who's under the most pressure? Who's got the most at stake? 855-212-4227.
All right, Maggie, it's playoff time. We have been talking about the spreads on all these games, but there's another way to really enjoy this football weekend, and that's Prize Picks. The best place to win cash while watching the playoff games, 10 million members, billions of dollars of award winnings. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. It's so easy to use. You just pick two or more players across any sport. You could do football and pair it up with another sport like you love to do. You pick more or less on their projection, and you could win up to 1,000 times your money.
Can I interest you in a little Damian Lillard more than 23.5 points tonight, and then pair it up with Sidney Crosby more than 20.3 minutes time on the ice?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? You can absolutely do that. Yesterday, I had a bet on goalie saves.
Yeah.
On Philip Gustavsson, went over 26.5. Until I did that, I had no concept of how many saves a goalie actually gets.
This is Perloff, just, you know, this
learning so much
freewheeling attitude.
Yeah, no, you tune into the game. It's such a fun way to enjoy this action.
And, of course, Prize Picks, it's America's number one daily fantasy sports app. It's available to play in more than 40 states, including for our friends in California and Texas. Just download the Prize Picks app today. We are obsessed. Use the code MNP. Get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. At least on the outside right now, it looks like the Dallas Cowboys head coaching job looks like there's two candidates, at least now, and I know they're early in the process. Deion Sanders and Kellen Moore appear to be the two kind of guys, and maybe that's just it for now. I know Robert Saleh also did interview. Perloff, between Deion Sanders and Kellen Moore, who do you think gets the job?
I don't think it's just two people. I think Jerry is has mysterious ways. But of those two, I would say Kellen Moore is more likely because, you know, it's just
a little easier.
It's a much bigger jump for Deion to go from Colorado to the Dallas Cowboys. And I think at the end of the day, there's going to be people in that building who want to be cautious about Deion just because it's a radical move. We all know that. He's never coached in the NFL. He is an unorthodox coach in college. He has this gigantic staff. You know, there's a lot of reasons to point. Like, that's a radical move. Kellen Moore seems like a safe move that we've kind of anticipated. Kellen Moore's been, how many years has Kellen Moore been talked about as a Cowboys coach? Like 3 or 4 or so.
I know, but at least Deion's been a head coach at a level, right? Like, Kellen Moore's only been a coordinator in the NFL. I know they love Kellen Moore. They made Mike McCarthy keep Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator. I just think if Deion wants it and Jerry's enamored, as according to Ed Warder, and if Deion wants it and if he goes to Colorado, as Jane Slater reported, and asks for more NIL money, trying to use maybe the Cowboys job as some leverage to get more money for NIL and for his assistant coaches, and Colorado says no, well, then maybe Deion's like, all right, well, my kids aren't here anymore. I'm trying to get more money out of you. It's an NIL world. If we're not going to keep up, there's only so much my celebrity can do. Maybe he's like, you know, screw it. I'll go to the Cowboys. It doesn't hurt me at all. I can always go back to college if I want to.
Well, hell, definitely. I'm not saying Deion will do it. I think the Cowboys won't do it.
You think Jerry's just sort of blowing smoke?
I think he's really interested. I think the end of the day to pull the trigger on that move is a lot harder. Like, you really going to bring Deion here? Like, I don't know. It just feels like a big risk that a guy who's always been risk averse in his coaching hires be out of character. By the way, if Kellen Moore gets to the Super Bowl, then he'll be the hottest guy. I mean, that's the game with all these guys. If any of these, whoever the OC on the Super Bowl team is going to name his price. If Kellen Moore keeps going, then Jerry will fly to Philadelphia at halftime and try and hire him. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, but that's where Deion is still so interesting because, yeah, Deion can't do anything else. He's coached his last game in Colorado. There's nothing more he can do, but he has been very impressive in what he's done so far. Obviously, his own career, and then turning Colorado into a 9-win team, not bad.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it. If Slowick wins this weekend, he can name his price. Mm. Ben Johnson can already name his price. Todd Monken wins the Super Bowl, he can name his price. Like, the owners aren't stupid. They want offense coordinators. Like, that's who wins. That's just, and if you get a defensive guy, it's because you want to pay less. That is the only logic I have. That's how I really feel about it.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I think Mike Vrabel is being brought into the Patriots because of the pre-existing condition, not because he's cheaper.
That's
true. I don't think he was cheap.
I don't think he's going to win a Super Bowl there. I think this is an offensive league, and I think there's one formula for success, and that is to have a great offensive coach. I really am down on the defensive hires.
I know, but I mean, Bill Belichick won more than anybody, and he's
technically
a
special
guy.
Team coach.
Technically special teams. Meanwhile, Bill Belichick, speaking of college coaches, out on the recruiting trail, yet some stories came out yesterday that he does not, our friend Jonathan Jones, said that he does not have a signed contract. Now, Jonathan did say this is normal. This happens in college football sometimes where guys work with like the framework of a contract, but some of the details haven't been hammered out yet. But between the $10 million buyout, the idea that Belichick may have been getting some phone calls behind the scenes, including from Tom Brady and the Raiders, and now this story where the contract is non-binding, do you think is there anything there?
I don't, because of that caveat that this isn't uncommon. I don't even get all this smoke. Like, you're telling me that Bill Belichick's going to jump from UNC, like, to what team? Like, who's...
Maybe the Cowboys.
Everyone's already down the road. I felt like that ship passed. I'd be shocked, beyond shocked, if Bill Belichick's name emerged.
It's only if you think that the Cowboys really didn't know if they were bringing Mike McCarthy back. If it really came down to a contract negotiation or something with McCarthy, maybe they just didn't think this was going to be an opening that they really foresaw. I don't know.
So why are they... every single detail of this Deion thing gets leaked by 74 people. So if they're really looking at Belichick, don't you think we would have heard a whisper?
I don't know. EJ, you look like you want to say something here.
I mean, let's spice this up. I mean, there are teams playing in the playoffs. What if Maggie's Bills lose? What if your Eagles lose? Does that change the calculus?
Oh,
Maggie
God.
Thinks that Sean McDermott could get fired if they lose. And Nick Sirianni, the Eagles do a no-show against LA. Does that change the calculus in Philly?
Nope. I mean, Nick Sirianni is right now the second winningest coach in the NFL. I think it'd be crazy after this year. If Nick Sirianni didn't earn another year this year, then I don't know what coach in the history of the world is ever going to earn another year.
Yeah, but to be fair, he might lose his offensive coordinator. Now you got to find another offensive coordinator if Kellen Moore gets hired by the Cowboys.
Yeah, Kellen Moore wasn't exactly a hot item when we got him. I think that's fine. Like, they brought in Vic Fangio as the hire of the year, and Kellen Moore is good, but no, I think Nick Sirianni, and I also think Sean McDermott most likely is safe. I think that'd be a... That's a stretch, I think. I think you're making a stretch to say he'll get fired if they lose.
If it looks bad, if they lose 35-10. Listen, Mike McCarthy put together a 12-win season. They got smoked by the Packers, and we all thought he was getting fired. And I know McDermott has had longer success with Buffalo than McCarthy had with Dallas, but...
I mean, Dallas was favored by almost a touchdown in that game.
I think there's something about... It's a little bit like Doug Collins, I think, sometimes. Like, people look at that going back a little bit with the Chicago Bulls. Like, you could have kept Doug Collins, but they thought they had a great team and you have a great player, and they thought they needed Phil Jackson to put them over the edge. And the Chicago Bulls did it. I don't know. That's just my thoughts. Andrew Bogish has headlines for us. What's up?
Guys, is this plan C for the James kids? No NBA, no G League, so they'll play in Europe? LeBron's business partner, Maverick Carter, is apparently advising a group of investors who are trying to raise $5 billion for an international league that would rival the NBA. Hmm. 6 men's teams, 6 women's teams playing games around the globe. We are told that LeBron is not involved in the project at all.
I love it. Maverick Carter just came up with this one out of thin air and is no way going to use LeBron James's celebrity to try to sell this new international league. Yeah, sure.
Why would a guy who wants to buy an NBA team allow his business partner to start a rival league? That is the thing I can't get my wrap my head around. It doesn't make any sense unless he already has been told, hey, buddy, that Las Vegas team is earmarked for somebody else.
Maybe. You know, my other thought about this story, which $5 billion feels like a large amount of money to me.
So that's what doesn't make sense to me. $5 billion for 12 teams, I would assume playing in places that already have arenas. So I don't, like, what's the billion for?
See, I thought the number was low.
Really?
I mean, the New York Yankees are worth $10 billion, and they're one team.
Yes, sir.
Like, I just feel like if you're starting a league, and it's an international league, so I assume you're going to multiple countries. I assume this is like a worldwide tour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm thinking $5 billion for infrastructure, not valuation. Like, I need $5 billion to make this reality. For what? Like, this is 12 teams total of, like, 12 to 15 players. So, like, that's not even 200 players. So you're paying for, what, planes and arena rentals, and you need $5 billion? That seems like a lot of money.
Wait. I think if you're doing, I also think you may be building arenas too. Because if you're talking about a rival league, I mean, it's the Euro League. It's like, you know, Barcelona is like, yeah, sure, go play in our arena. Like, it's a rival to them too. It's a rival to any professional league, right?
Well, it's a great question. How do you get to the $5 billion? I think I'm kind of more with Bogush on this one, EJ. But the other question I had is, I get the Unrivaled, what's that, the WNBA?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's another league that's being started to kind of counter
this weekend, actually.
Yeah, Angel Reese is playing in it.
Yep.
Okay, the WNBA players make nothing compared to the NBA players. Like, they kind of have to chase paychecks more. The NBA players get paid so much money. Why would you leave? You can be the 10th man on the bench. You can be making $20 million a year or something like that. How are they going to, maybe that's what the $5 billion is for, to give outrageous salaries, because
you can
make so much money,
like,
in the NBA.
Early USFL stealing great players, that kind of thing.
That has to be
interesting.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, yeah, LeBron's making $250 million on a contract. Yeah, to make him leave the NBA, you would think $500 million.
Oh, my God.
It's basically what we've seen with the soccer players in the Saudis, right? It's just like,
you got to get blown away.
Cristiano Ronaldo, here's 2 years, you know, $500 million. And you're like, well, how am I going to turn that down, you know?
Right.
That's got to be part of this, too.
Like, the rank and file, I would say the rank and file, even the elite NBA players, they're just making so much. Like, why would Wemby leave to go to this rival league when he's in line to make, probably when he's up, it's going to be $400 million in a supermax?
Well, I mean, good thing, once LeBron and Steph leave, nobody's going to care about any player except for Wemby and maybe Anthony Edwards. So they're fine. I mean, I was just about to say, NBA, is basketball, professional basketball, so hot that you need another league? I don't know. It's the soccer model, right? That's like, you bring up the soccer players. They want to make it more of like an international thing.
Yeah, but then you have six teams. Like, that's not even a league. That's a summer tournament.
They're barnstorming.
That's an AAU weekend.
I mean, football, as popular as football is, they've just crashed and burned with every side league they've done. That's why I'm very skeptical of this.
On the court last night, the Thunder returned the favor, taking their visit from the Cavaliers. They're losing in Cleveland earlier this month. The 134-114 final included 40 points from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but on only 5 free throws.
I don't need free throws. When they come, it's a plus, but I don't need them. I get it however I take it.
SGA said that post-game on TNT. Both these teams now 34-6. The Clippers took care of the Blazers 118-89. The Kings outscored the Rockets 132-127, behind 33 from DeMar DeRozan. And the Pacers 111-100 winners in Detroit. They've taken 7 of their last 8. You were just discussing Kellen Moore. He interviews for the Cowboys job today. Former Jets head coach Robert Saleh takes his turn tomorrow. Seahawks assistant head coach Leslie Frazier on Monday. Lions running back David Montgomery is all the way back from his late season knee injury. He doesn't even appear on Detroit's injury report for tomorrow's game with the Commanders. Washington linebacker Bobby Wagner is good to go as well after nursing an ankle injury. Lastly, from the NFL, the league playing in Madrid for the first time this fall. The Dolphins, the home team for that game.
What's the stadium name?
In Madrid?
Yeah.
I don't know where they're physically playing in Madrid.
That would be the Estadio Santiago Bernabeu.
It sounds better when Manny says it.
They say Bernabeu on soccer matches.
Well, it's Bernabeu.
I'm going to trust the guys from England on Peacock.
Okay, Manny sent us a picture of his tattoos.
Yeah.
To the group chat. You failed to describe this lion tattoo like
correctly.
Yeah, in any way.
You guys didn't ask.
He used to be the quarterback of the Washington football team, it appears.
Yes.
Why does he have a headdress on?
That's what I said, Manny. You didn't mention that it's a lion's head and the lion is a Native American.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It felt like
they usually don't go together, Manny. That's why we're confused.
Well, I am in a confusing individual, aren't I?
Yeah, it's a lion in a full headdress. How did you come up with that?
Probably just one inebriated night as a freshman in college.
And can I give you $75 more to finish coloring in the headdress?
Why is it not done?
Well, because I took that picture when it wasn't finished. It was a little two-session.
Oh, it's done now.
Yeah, I took that picture 10 years ago now.
It was a live picture.
It is a live picture? Wow.
It is a live picture? No. It's a lot cooler than I thought it was going to be.
Thank you, I guess.
No, it is. It's interesting. I didn't know you had all this like Native American which is great. I just didn't know you had this love and obsession maybe.
I like their art.
With their art. Okay, great. Probably not the same tribe. The ankle one looks a little more southwest and I don't know.
Look, man, it looks tight.
Yeah, you got to pick a lane here. I think that's the side lesson.
Well,
you've got the tribal tattoo, you've got your Mexican hockey team. You got to pick something.
Both of these are hidden tattoos, more or less. So when I start to get the sleeve and it's all NYC based, I think my life will make a little bit more sense and people will think I'm straightened out.
I mean, I'm thinking now if you have this big Native American theme going, go back to this land was all Native American land, all of it in our country, but, Manhattan, the Manhattan Indians, like you can maybe not Madison Square Garden, maybe just keep going with the Native American theme. Indigenous.
Maybe I'll get an Aztec tattoo next, guys.
Well, that's going to throw us off also. You get Penn Station on your arm. It's not going to make any sense. A single tear rolls down a Native American's face.
Just do transportation hubs all from your body.
30th Street Station, Penn Station.
O'Hare Airport.
Oh, throughout the country.
Yeah,
LAX.
Yeah, yeah.
Chicks would love that, man. Yeah. I can't recommend that
Terminal
enough.
3 in Atlanta. Yeah.
Well, if my roommate said that it will get me chicks, I got to do it. Man.
Here's a bus station in Tulsa.
Only the specialties get to see that one.
And now, Manny, instead of knowing every stadium what the name is, you can know what every bus depot in America is named after. That is the Woodrow Wilson Depot.
Yeah, no, rest stop.
Outside of Illinois.
Yeah. Added rest stop.
Yeah. The Vince Lombardi is in New Jersey.
Or you could just do stores that are commonly found. Right? Here's the Auntie Anne's.
Yeah. Roy Rogers.
It's a Taco Bell KFC combo.
Sbarro.
Plus donuts.
Sbarro.
It's a Chick-fil-A, but not open on Sunday.
I've had to turn make such open radical on rice on the highway because my kids love Auntie Anne's pretzels so much. Like, get me the Auntie Anne's.
But if you're going with one of those places, though, undefeated smell is Cinnabon.
Yeah,
Auntie Anne's is good. Cinnabon,
yeah,
undefeated.
Cinnabon, that's the top.
It's the goat smell.
That's what dreams are made of.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Meg, any of your fun friends whose name end in I, you think they're intrigued by a lion's tattoo?
I guess I told you, I have a Brittany with an I in my life, just like Aaron Rodgers' new sweetheart. She's taken, though. She married a finance bro.
We were talking setup? Is that what's going on?
I tried
here?
That. I flirted that one day that maybe there's a lady in one of our lives that we could connect to Manny.
Manny, and your dating profile, is there a picture of the tat?
No.
Probably better.
Oh, okay.
I've never done a dating profile, but I imagine.
Time to throw the break, Maggie.
I don't do dating. I don't imagine you put your ankle on your dating profile.
Or your thigh.
Yeah. I mean, Maggie might put her
feet.
It's called
the thirst trap.
Maggie puts her feet. I mean,
that's for money.
There's a market for that. Track former Jets coaches, you do.
There's a market for that.
Yeah, there's definitely a market for that.
And I bought white sneakers the other day. Yeah. They just accentuate my feet so much. It was such a terrible idea. It's like wearing white pants if you got a big butt. It is just, it makes them look so much bigger.
Actually,
it's like floppy shoes. Ah,
hey, that's a big canvas for tattoos.
My feet?
Yeah.
Those hurt, I've heard. Top of the foot, I heard, is a bad place to have a tattoo.
Actually, I have the entire Roman Colosseum on my feet.
The Great Wall of China.
To scale on my feet. I got big feet. Okay. Man, I hope that in an alternate universe, Bob Uecker would have loved that conversation. He was one of the funniest people that we had in broadcasting. Nothing we could say to ever hold a candle to how funny Bob Uecker was. He passed away yesterday at the age of 90, and we're honoring him today by playing some of our favorite memories of the player and broadcaster.
During every player's career, there comes a time when you know that your services are no longer required, that you might be moving on, traded, sold, released, whatever it may be. And having been with four clubs, I picked up a few of these tips. I remember Gene Mauck doing things to me at Philadelphia. Oh, I'd be sitting there and he'd say, grab a bat and stop this rally. Send me up there without a bat and tell me to try for a walk. Look down at the third base coach for a sign and have him turn his back on you.
Does LiAngelo Ball have a second song? Or is it just this one for now?
I heard there is a second song. And I've heard someone say they like the second song better than this song.
Was that person LeVar Ball?
No, I think this person. I think it was Cameron. I think it was.
Okay.
Really?
I trust his
so
taste.
He's like getting like legit, you know, endorsements?
No, he got signed.
I think it was Joe Budden. Sorry, I think it was Joe Budden who said this.
He got like $13 million. Anyway, we have to get to our picks because it is here, divisional weekend, and we're also going to pick, or at least I'll spoil alert, I'm going to pick the national championship game on Monday as part of my picks. Let's hit.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Edit.
Maggie and Perloff's NFL picks.
Okay, EJ, what are the records?
Okay, so Maggie, you went 2-3 last week, so you're barreling closer and closer to 500. You're now 48-47. Perloff, you also went 2-3 last week, so that brings your record to 45-48-2.
And two, both on the same week.
Yeah.
Great. Great.
All right, well, how this generally works is we do a combination of college and NFL picks, but because there's so few college games, there's one left. We're kind of going a little more artist choice on this whole thing.
I want to hear, because I have seven options I love. I want to hear your five picks, and then because I don't want to repeat anything you do. I want to do different. So
okay,
you go first with all your five, and I feel like you have a good handle this week. So I also, I want to beware. I don't want to go against you directly.
Okay. EJ just told you I'm careening towards 500 when I have this gigantic lead on you.
We're both due. I have not done any better the last 3 weeks, just so you're clear on that.
Here we go. Let's get this thing going. I'm going to change my thing up at the last moment here. I haven't even told Perloff I'm doing this, but I'm actually going to bet on his Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm going to lay the 6 points. I respect the Rams. I do. Coming cross country, cold weather, I think you're convincing me. I think that the Eagles offense has to look a little better, doesn't it? Maybe Jalen Hurts with a game under his belt now off a concussion protocol. I'm going to take the Philadelphia Eagles in the last second here, and I'm going to lay the 6. As far as the over-under, I'm going to go over on Kansas City and the Houston Texans at 41.5. It's just it's a low number for me, and I think that what the Texans have to understand is that Chris Jones is going to destroy C.J. Stroud if he doesn't get the ball out quickly. He's got to get the ball out quickly. You saw Nico Collins have a big game last week, and they're going to have to pass the ball because I don't know how healthy Joe Mixon is. So I'm going to take the over 41.5 on Kansas City and the Texans. As far as my player prop, I'm also going to the NFL for that. Give me Jaden Daniels, over 229.5 passing yards. This is a banged-up Lions defense that I think is going to win this game, but I think Jaden Daniels is going to get his. I said I believe he is the best quarterback left in the NFC, and if they're trailing, he's throwing. And I think the corners for the Detroit Lions have been a little susceptible to the pass. For college, lay the 8.5 with Ohio State, and I will take the under in that game as well, 46.5. Perloff, you're up.
Okay. I'm glad I asked, because I had the Chiefs over. 41.5, what is going on there? I think that's interesting. Because that number is so low, I will make a pick on that game. I'm going to take the Texans and the points, plus 8.5. This is just a bet against the Chiefs, play everybody kind of close and lame. So I'll go Texans plus 8.5. I'm going to go Lions Commanders over 55.5 because let's go America. That I would love to see a shootout. That would be amazing. I have already promised I'm going to do it, and I'm not backing down no matter what Nick Casso says. I'm taking your Bills plus 1.5. And it's not even to mush you. It's not any of that. It's like they're at home. Why would there's very rarely a divisional home dog? So why would this team be a home dog? My prop, after much consternation, I have four tight ends I like this weekend. I like Sam Laporta. I like Isaiah Likely. I like Mark Andrews. But the guy I'm going with is my guy Dalton Schultz, over 3.5 catches, because the Texans have no one to throw to in this game that hopefully the Texans do well in. That means I have one more pick, and I have a bunch on my sheet here. Bum bum bum. Bum, bum, bum. How much time we have left?
You have like 30 seconds. And you can't take all of it going bum, bum, bum.
Dribbling the clock out here.
I know, bro. Make a pick. Just do it.
All right. I'm going to rip the Band-Aid. I'm going to do it. Give me... I'll go Lions. I'll take the Lions.
Taking the Lions. You're laying the points.
Yeah, 8.5.
Okay. 8.5.
Did you bet that game?
I did not, because of what came down to 8.5. And I wanted it more at 9.5. I know that not much changes between those two. But yeah, I didn't want 8.5.
Backdoor cover is my greatest fear in this game, right? And what you're looking at that is like, do you have any major upset this weekend? Money line, kind of. Based on my question, do you think the Commanders or the Texans can shock the world?
I actually am a little bit more with you that I think it could be the Texans, if it's going to happen.
Ooh.
If it's going to happen.
And lastly, Bills Ravens, you feel good. Are you going to be okay on Monday if they lose?
Let's go Buffalo.
Yeah, finally.